lesson this morning is taken from Proverbs chapter 8, verses 1 through 4 and 22 through 31. Does not wisdom call? And does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries out, "To you, O people, I cry, and my cry is to all that live. The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of long ago. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. There were no depths. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. When he had not yet made earth and fields, or the first world's first bits of soil. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep. When he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master worker, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the human race." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Wisdom's call. Wisdom was there before all things were created. Wisdom, which as we see from what the writer of Proverbs tells us, is a characteristic of God. Characteristic of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Have you ever known someone who is perhaps by your estimation characterized by wisdom, characterized as possessing wisdom? When I was in the 10th grade at Slater Marietta High School, which was a small high school, but it was very much the center of our communities of Slater and Marietta, a lot of activities, a lot of emphasis, a lot of football games, basketball games, everything else. It was sort of the center of what went on in that part of northern Greenville County. And early in our 10th grade year, we heard that we were being closed and that we would be merged with Travelers Rest High School. That meant that I would spend my junior and senior year there and graduate from Travelers Rest High School, which probably shouldn't have been as traumatic as it seemed to be at the time, but it was traumatic. It was traumatic for the community. Everybody felt like it was the doom of the communities. Slater, Marietta, take out the high school, the whole school, whole community will fade away and all these things. But I think at the root of it was the fact that Slater Marietta and Travelers Rest were arch rivals in sports, any kind of sports, arch rivals, and they proved it by always having big fights after the games and stuff like that. Not that we were a bunch of rednecks or anything, but we had big fights after they had big fights, especially after the football games and all this stuff. And then we were merging with our arch rival, which meant basically that Slater Marietta wouldn't exist anymore, the school anyway, and it sort of meant TR wins, Slater Marietta loses. End of discussions. I know, isn't that sad? So we were pretty distressed. We found out about it early in my 10th grade year, early that year, that this would be the last year of Slater Marietta High School. And so you can imagine the characteristic of the school was doom and gloom. And the building was old, and Greenville County School District, in its wisdom, which I understand, they decided not to do a lot of repairs because, you know, they're going to tear the building down. So all that year when they got a leak, they just put a bucket underneath the leak, and you got to watch the plaster peel away and fall. And so it just added to the sort of depression of everything going on there. But one thing changed that year dramatically. And that was that someone came to work there. His name was Petey Gerard. He came to work there, Renee's father. And Petey had this really amazing and marvelous way about him. He was someone that if you met him, you felt like you knew him immediately, that he knew you, and that he was all about you, and he was all about you having a great day and being made known how important you are, and also how humorous everything in the world was. A lot like Renee. People say that Renee's a lot like her father. And so he was that kind of person. Anytime that I was around him, anytime I saw him, I knew that I would go away feeling glad and happy and refreshed and everything else. He was just always so full of life and vim and vigor and everything else. And so he came to work there. He had an office in the office little office complex that we had there. And he became the magnet. The students would come to him, even the students that didn't know him, like a lot of us did know him from church and other things. They just migrated to him. And he took the doom and gloom of our building, which was physically falling down around us and that would be soon torn down. He took that and just made it into a happy occasion, a time that was filled with anticipation of good things, of anticipation of happiness, and the fact that, you know, you just got to be happy. You got to have joy. You got to enjoy what you're doing. Enjoy this last year as Slater Marietta High School. Make it the best year possible, that sort of thing. And it changed the entire atmosphere of the school. One person, one father, changed the atmosphere of the school completely. Now, I always give him credit for doing that. The principal was a very good principal, but the principal had his hands full with taking care of the school and getting ready to close down and all that stuff. And PD was there, and he made sure all this happened because it was a characteristic of him to do that. Proverbs tells us that the characteristic, one of the prime characteristics of the Trinity, is wisdom. Wisdom sends out the call from God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The call not just to fathers, but to all of us. And we can understand wisdom's call and even how wisdom tells us the ways that we should live, the path of lives, the path of life that we should take. And the instruction of wisdom as well. We can also see that in the lives of great men and great fathers in God's word as well. One of the prime things that wisdom calls out for us to do, wisdom's call to each and every one of us, is to make sure that we put wisdom first. As wisdom says in verse 22 and 23 of chapter 8, "The Lord created me," wisdom, "at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of long ago. Ages ago I was set up, at the first, before the beginning of the earth." So wisdom is calling to us to hear what wisdom has to say, that before God did anything else, God created wisdom and made wisdom a part of the characteristic of God. So wisdom calls upon us to put wisdom first before anything else. I look at one of the great men of the Bible as being Joshua. Joshua was great in many different ways, but I see the wisdom in how he responded to the challenges of his day. You know, he was one of the two spies, Joshua and Caleb, who were sent out to go into the promised land when they had arrived and they were trying to decide, you know, what are we going to do? And they sent the spies out, and a lot of the spies came back and said, there's giants in the land. We need to run back and say, Pharaoh, please take us back. We'll be slaves. We'll be obedient. We won't run away again. We'll be here, and we'll be good, because there's giants in the land, and they'll slaughter us. And Joshua and Caleb came back and said, it's a land flowing with milk and honey, and even though there are giants living in the land, we have God on our side. We can accomplish all things in the face that might face us, all things that might try to stand in our way, because God is with us. Joshua also became the one to follow Moses as the leader of the children of Israel as they were getting ready to go into the land, and they went into the land. Joshua had to do that. There's one combining factor in there. Joshua had every reason, just like the other spies, to be afraid, because there were giants living in the land, giants who could indeed create great harm and havoc upon the children of Israel. And also, Joshua had every reason to say, I don't want to follow Moses. I don't want to be the one who leads the children of Israel into the promised land. I don't want to do that. He could have let fear stop him in his track. He could have let what some people would say, common sense, say, no, don't do that. No, don't do that. And yet wisdom took priority over his fears. Wisdom was first. Joshua knew that with God on their side, they could conquer the promised land. The promised land had been given to them, promised to them. And so he knew that indeed this could be accomplished. But he also knew that if God had called him to lead the children of Israel into the promised land and to take the promised land as their own, that God would provide for them as well. So even though he had fears, misgivings, probably sorrows over what he was called to do, his wisdom, that was a gift from God given to him, took priority. That was the first thing in his life. Wisdom calls upon us, not just as fathers, but also as human beings, as Christians, to put wisdom first before all things, to put wisdom there and allow the wisdom to allow us to see the ways in which we should live out our lives. But then also wisdom here and wisdom's call to us talks about the limits. The limits. And you go, limits of wisdom? I definitely could say I have limits of wisdom. I understand that. But that's not the limits that wisdom is talking about. I think wisdom is talking about the limits of the effects of evil. Evil is so prevalent. Evil is so strong. And wisdom calls out to us to apply limits to the effects of evil in our world. It's stated there for us in verse 29, talking about when God assigned to the sea its limits so that the waters might not transgress his commands, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, the limits to the sea. Now you might go, huh, there's something about sea. In the Old Testament, it seems like Dan has said something about the sea in the Old Testament always symbolized, y'all need another cup of coffee, always symbolizes the place of evil. The sea is always seen as the place of evil in the Old Testament in particular, and it really in the New Testament in several places. The sea is the place of evil, so wisdom in talking about God creating all things says that God set the limits to the sea so that they would not, so the sea would not transgress God's commands. And wisdom is saying, that's what God did. That's what God had me do. That's what one of the tasks of wisdom, to put the limits to the place of evil. This far and no further. This far and you cannot transgress the commands of God by going any further. Wisdom was central to that. And so wisdom also calls upon us to do the same thing. We all feel the effects of evil in our world, effects of choices of others, are our own choices and how those lead us down paths that we really probably wish we had not gone down. The effects of evil are very prevalent, but wisdom calls upon us to do all that we can within our power to limit the effects of evil as well. David, of course, as he was going through all the evils that he faced and the evils that he committed and the evils that were there in his family and all the other ways in which David suffered and suffered and suffered, he also, in the midst of that, limited the effects of evil by learning and growing as to what it was to be a child of God, a child of the shepherd. The traditional view, of course, is that David wrote most of the Psalms. And if you read the Psalms, you can hear the voice of agony, the the voice of pain, the voice of confusion, but the voice that is learning about God in the midst of the face of evil, of the world. The 23rd Psalm and how much that means to us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. David understood what it was to want. David understood the effects of evil upon his world and upon him and upon everything else, the struggles that he faced. And yet in the midst of those struggles, he grew as a disciple. In the midst of those struggles, he grew in the face of evil. He said, this far and no further, but then also by writing, he gave us tools of discipleship. Tools to help us enhance our walk with God. We can say the same thing about another great man of the Bible, Job. The fact that Job was facing evils right directly from the hand of Satan, saying, yes, this is what I'm going to do. I'll make him suffer. I'll make him suffer like no one has suffered. And Job faced that, and then his friends telling him, it's all your fault. You messed up. You made a sin. Therefore, you are being punished. And his friends telling him that, and his wife saying, why don't you curse God and die and get your pain over with? And Job said, this far and no further. Job limited the effects of evil with his wisdom of knowing that he was righteous in the eyes of God, and therefore this punishment was not due to something he had done. And he had to stand firm. He had to say, this far and no further, I'm not going to let the effects of evil change my opinion of myself or my opinion of how God acts in my life. And that word has become a word of how we face suffering to this day, because he would not allow the evil to also destroy him, destroy his faith in God, destroy his understanding of what it was to be a righteous person before God. Great men of the Bible answering the call of wisdom put limits on the effects of evil, because evil is always there. But we can, through God's help, say this far and no further. We can make the boundary, just as God made the boundary for the sea as well. And then, of course, wisdom tells us that we are to have wisdom as a part of everything. Wisdom as a part of every day, every thought, every action, every interaction that we have with others. Wisdom's call to us as fathers, as men, as to people, women and children and young people, everybody, is to make sure that we make wisdom a part of everything we do. As wisdom says in verse 30, then I was beside him like a master worker. I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the human race. Daily his delight. I was beside him like a master worker. Wisdom's call to make sure that we have wisdom always in everything before us. Wisdom in every way in which we act upon the world. Wisdom as a great gift of God, one of the characteristics of God, wisdom given to us. Solomon, much to his credit, praying not for riches and power, but praying to God for wisdom. And God said, I'll give you wisdom and I'll give you riches and power and everything else. Also, Barnabas and Ananias in the New Testament, they had wisdom when they understood that Paul had made terrible mistakes in his life. He had murdered Christians. He had seen to it the persecution of Christians. And yet now God was calling Paul to go into a ministry of bringing the good news to the Gentiles. And God called Barnabas and Ananias to help him, to take them under their wings and to guide this new disciple of Christ into the ways that he should go, in the ways that would truly make Paul one who changed the world in the name of Christ, changed certainly the Gentile world by the name of Christ. And yet they had to understand that wisdom was in everything. They had to put wisdom in everything, just like Joshua. I'm sure they had fears. Ananias voiced those in saying, he He's a murderer. He's a murderer of Christians. You want me to go to him and say, here, I'll guide you and direct you in the Christian way? And Barnabas, having enough wisdom to know that God was calling on him to help him get started in this big, important task of ministry as well. All the ways in which these great men, Paul, Barnabas, Ananias, had to have wisdom in everything that they were trying to accomplish, wisdom in everything that they were called upon to do, so that great things would be accomplished. Wisdom's call to us is to make a difference in our world, to make sure that wisdom is first and foremost, to make sure wisdom is there, to make sure that wisdom also helps us to limit the effects of evil in this world. My son-in-law, Victor Romano, who is a member here, of course, he said something the other week that I was amazed. It was just such a voice of wisdom. He said, and when he said it, I was like, huh? He said, you know, they had the 14-month-old daughter, Michaela, and he said, I've decided that I'm never going to say, when Michaela does something right, I'm never going to say, good girl. He said, I'm not going to say, good girl, good girl. Because then if she does something bad, then it's like I'm saying, bad girl, bad girl. And he said, if I say good girl to her, then I almost have to say bad girl, and then I'm calling her bad because she made a mistake, or calling her bad because she did something that was wrong. And he said, I'm never going to say that she's a bad girl. She may have made a bad choice, but that doesn't make her a bad girl. So he said, I'm not going to call her a good girl. I'm going to say you made a good choice. You did a good thing. Or if she does something bad, you made a bad choice. You did a bad thing, but you're not bad because you did it. And I thought then, he's doing this before she fully understands words, before she's using words. Of course, she's learning, but she hasn't started using them. He's doing this right from the start. And I thought, what a blessing to Michaela that her father will never say, you are bad. Bad because you did this. Father will say, you made a bad choice. You're still a good person. You made a bad choice. Try to do better the next time, or whatever, in the correction, in the instruction of life. But what a blessing to her that she will never have to overcome the image, overcome the idea that she is bad. What a marvelous idea. What a marvelous thing. A way in which wisdom that is a gift from God calls us to have positive impacts upon our world, positive impacts upon others in the name of Christ. At this time, I would like for all of our men, all of our fathers, let's start with the fathers, all of our fathers to stand. Please stand if you're a father. Yay! Okay, y'all stay standing. And then I have all of our men, young men too, all of our men to stand as well. There you go. Very good. All right, so y'all can be seated. But I just want to say that I know that you are in the process, just like all of us, of answering wisdom's call and of being that blessing to others as well. Let's go to God in prayer. Most gracious God.